Sorry about that. Yeah, the recording timed out on us. You know, it only goes an hour long. Remember I was telling you all the calls are recorded.
Bear with me a minute. I'm trying to get you on speaker.
Oh, okay. Oh, can you hear me?
Again, yeah.
Okay.
I want to say to you, your mom was more than likely letting you know that your life was headed the wrong direction, and that, you know, she knew because she's where she is.
Yeah.
You know that your life would be smooth and out, which is where you are right now, brother.
Yeah, I mean, that was after the Scalasancta trip, and it was weird because my mom used to tell me all the time when I was a kid, you know, growing up in Orange County, there's a lot of Latinos around there. She used to tell me all the time, you're going to marry a Latina, you know? And I feel like she knew that lady was driving me crazy. I was just in love with her because she was beautiful. But I think it was kind of like, you know, she heard my prayers. And even though you feel like things are tough right now, it's going to be okay. Because after that, I spent a good, like, 3-4 years on my own,
right.
You know, just doing my own thing. And, I was starting to feel a little lonely. You know what I mean? It was just different. And it was in that time period that I remember I had that dream, but I just had a hard time deciphering exactly what that meant. I remember I woke up like, am I starting the process of dying now? And she's just telling me, hey, you know, what we think heaven is isn't how it is. You know, you don't really know until you get there kind of thing.
No.
But it's okay, you know? So I thought that's kind of how I took it. Like, hey, you know, we're going to die, but it's okay. You know, we're going to die, but it's okay. It's actually okay on the other side. That's kind of how I took it.
It is, and it's real.
Yeah.
But what I want to interpret from what you tell me, that your mom's telling me that you're heading in the wrong direction down, and that your life, it's going to be okay because she saw that you were changing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you weren't so relentless when you were young. Now you are.
Yeah.
And you're teaching your kids the same way, right?
Yeah, she used to tell me that a lot when I was a kid, especially when we would clean. We always had chores, and she always told me, you got to make it worse before it gets better. You don't clean around stuff. You got to toss the couch up. You got to mess everything up, get it all, you know what I mean, get it all out of the way, then clean, then put it all back together. So she used to tell me that all the time. If you really want things to get better, it's got to get worse first. And I didn't understand that, but now that you're saying it, like you're seeing it that way, that really brought me back to that message where she used to always, I remember being little and her telling me that, you know, sometimes things gotta get worse.
I wish somebody could tell me about me, John. I'll tell you what, I mean, I just went through this, like this chick and I were together for 2 months, but I spent 25 grand on shit for her, jewelry and all this shit, and so that we could be together, and thinking that she wasn't about money, but turns out she's about money.
Yeah, they all are. They all are.
She also woke me back up, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still going to church every day, but it was like just stale. So she's kind of like she was a refresher course to let me know that just exactly what you said. You got to dirty shit up before so you can live. You know.
Yeah.
Clean it up correctly inside and out. But yeah. So I mean, this morning we had
I try to be. No, that's her loss, you know. I try to be, my way with relationships changed a lot when I went through that first tough one, because I was with her for years, like 19 to 26. So that was like, it was a long time. Yeah, exactly. I remember my 21st birthday, you know, first time I went to a bar, I was with her, you know. And, so it was a lot of heartbreak, but what it did is it really changed my outlook on things, where it was like people can fake and they can do all this stuff, and you know that's true, but the reality is it's her loss. You know, it's not it's hard. The things I did for her, just like you did for that lady, are your good karma, and what she did with it is her bad karma, and you just got to leave it alone. You know, you can't go deeper into it. Cause then it just starts, you start hurting yourself. You start blaming yourself. You start feeling like you made a mistake or you were dumb, you were gullible. But it's the same thing when I give money to the homeless and there's a guy out there going, oh, you know, he's just going to spend it on beer. Well, that's on him. You know, I did it for me because the Lord wants me to do that. He gave me the ability to help people so that I help people. Yeah. And I always tell them, this is from God. You know, Jesus Christ wants you to have this. You know, I ask them too, do you believe in God? Yeah, well, here you go, you know. And there's always some jackass, for lack of other words, excuse my language, that's like, yeah, he's just going to spend it on drugs or whatever. That's on him. You know, so I look at relationships like that. Like, hey, if you're giving love, don't feel bad about that. And if they take advantage of you, don't feel bad about that. You know, you do what's in your heart. That's the right thing. And just keep moving that way. You know what I mean? If they do you wrong, so be it. That's on them. That's her karma.
I know. So now I'm sitting with a bunch of $25,000 of women's jewelry sitting like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Maybe God's about to tell you the currency is going to hit the wall and now you got some gold. You know? You never know.
Tiffany Cartier.
Yeah.
Good shoe.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it holds its value though, you know, sometimes it appreciates, so you never know, that might be a good investment, just hold on to
everybody wants it for nothing though.
Yeah, right now,
yeah.
But once all this crypto stuff starts hitting the wall, then what, you know?
It is one, that one guy just, I don't know, that young guy lives in Bahamas or something like that. Took everybody for a couple billion or whatever.
Yeah, the FTX guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He got a lot of people.
He's the only one that's Bitcoin still good, I guess. But for
I read an article that kid brought his parents 20 houses in the Bahamas. 20 houses.
Crazy.
He was still, he was Peter Pan. He was stealing from the rich and giving to his parents.
And they're not holding him accountable either.
Yeah, they're not, because the people invested willingly. It's one thing when you're stealing money, but when people are actually putting it in there, it's like they're handing it to you.
Stupid enough to do so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so they get away. That happened with that Wolf of Wall Street guy. He's like, the people were willingly investing into it. It wasn't like they went and took, like, wire fraud and stole their money, you know. They just...
That was a good movie, actually. I liked that one.
Yeah, those guys are nuts, though. That's something else. He still gets watched by the FBI on a regular basis. He screwed his life all up.
I started out in money market at 45 and 18 years old. Well, I picked potatoes my first job at 12 years old, but I worked farms for quite a bit. But anyways, when I moved to Toronto, to the big city, I worked for City Corp Canada Limited, which is a money market.
Yeah.
And a 45-story window seat where I could watch the storm come in. And I was up there grooming me in the trading room. These fuckers were swearing all day long. And I thought, this job sucks. I heard enough swearing to last a lifetime with my dad.
Yeah.
But I walked out on that job. But it was a cool job, though.
Yeah, but they live the short and happy route, I guess you could say. But they're not thinking about eternity. Half of them don't believe anything, you know, so they do people wrong and don't lose any sleep over it. I don't know how.
Jesus come to me when I was 5 years old, and after I had a horrific beating, like blood in the bathtub, 5 years old, you know, water was all bloody. Next morning, I'm in the outside in the backyard and said, Jesus, I'm coming home to you. It's too tough here. I'm going home to you. I started ascending at 5 years old. I thought this was just a child thing.
Yeah.
I have a 30-foot avocado tree in the backyard. I'm above the avocado tree sitting. Jesus put me in Indian style. Turned me around 360 degrees so I wouldn't forget.
Yeah.
I saw all of Westminster above the trees, and then he brought me back down to the ground. He said to me, Richard, it's not your time to come, because I was literally going.
That happened to me. I seen the devil one time in Huntington Beach. And my neighbor had this, like, putting green in his backyard. And I remember I went and stuck my hand in the hole. And I swear the hole went straight through to hell. Like, I pulled my hand out. And I ran away. And everybody was like, oh, this kid's seeing things. You know, he's freaking out. But I remember I looked into the hole. And I saw Satan look up at me. Like, I was like, I looked down into this dark hole. I didn't know if I was daydreaming, if I was seeing things. You know, they were talking about, oh, he's seeing stuff. Yeah. But I was like, okay.
Did you see a man with burnt wings?
No, he didn't have burnt wings. It looked almost like the stuff you see in movies. He was red. He had horns. I think that was just like maybe, I don't know. Yeah, it was horrible, though. It was like it traumatized me. And I was just at the age where I was getting into church. My grandfather was introducing me to Calvary Chapel over in Costa Mesa. So that's where I used to do my Sunday school. And I was getting real familiar with the Lord, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. And then, like, nothing in the world would have scared me more than seeing the devil, and that's exactly what I saw. So it just, like,
finished you away from the direction you were going.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, man, I guess so. I don't know.
I've stood beside Lucifer before myself. Jesus brought me down in a vision. There was a Bible with about 1,000 years of dust on it. I'm talking white Bible on a stool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there was about maybe 4 inches of dust piled up on it, 1,000 years.
Huh.
And one of his disciples came next to him and said he wondered why I love Jesus in my heart so much. He couldn't figure it out. Maybe it's in that book. And away far, 200 yards off, I could see an orange glow of a crevice. And all that was around there was like carved stone, like dirty carved stone, like Satan made people slave to make this underground wherever it was. Railings that were carved of stone that were like 1.5 feet, 2 feet thick, that were like dirty and carved. But anyways, his disciple wondered why I love Jesus so much in my heart, because I do. I know where I come from before he started coming to this earth.
Right.
And that disciple went to go open the Bible. As soon as he went to go open the Bible, a dragon came out of that crevice with talons and a beak, and he obliterated that dude. Fucking the vision. You know the difference between a vision and a dream. What you saw,
when
you were awake.
That's where I struggled with it. Like, I was like, was I dreaming? But no, I remember it was the middle of the day, and I remember running away from that hole, and everybody like, what's wrong with this guy? And I was like, I saw that in real life. Yeah.
You never want to go back to that hole, do you?
Oh, never, never. I don't even think I went to that street ever again. I don't think I talked to those neighbors anymore. Yeah.
I have a hole like that in my baseball field, but I don't know where the fuck it went. I didn't bother ever, scared me out of the gate, but I never saw nothing, but I felt it went down to hell.
Yeah, my most recent revelation was just feeling like, man, I fall so short of Christ's glory, because John 3:16 is, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and I got my boys, and I look at the world and the way things are going today, and I look at my boys, and I think, no way, I couldn't do it, I couldn't be that strong to give one of my boys up for the world. I'd let the whole world burn. I am not him, I can't do it. I thought about that, and I was like, wow, how much he loves us, how much God loves us that he would sacrifice his son.
That's actually what I had been thinking about that lately, too, but that's hard to fathom that God give his only son.
Yeah, his only baby boy. I never understood that until I had a son. And then I'm like, wow, I believe in not killing people, but if it ever happened, just know somebody hurt my boy. That's it.
I have no children, so I have to rely on Jesus to show me the way.
Yeah, but that was really an eye-opener for me. Yeah. Was I love that boy more than anything. I lost my mother, and I'll tell you, I love my boy more than I love my mom. I know it.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to explain.
Yeah, you made him, but what takes place? Here's what takes place. Jesus puts a soul into your wife's womb and drops the baby into it through your seed. Mm-hmm. And that's, you get as a gift. Mm-hmm. I know that, because you have a son. You have more than one child?
Yeah, I have two, 3 and 1. They're both little.
So they both look different, don't they?
Yeah, one looks like dad and one looks like mom.
They both have personalities. So God put one personality of human into one for your first baby.
Yeah.
Just like your siblings. I mean, I have a brother that I can't even talk to because all he wants to do is fight. Yeah. And they both want to fuck any girl that I ever have. I don't understand that.
That's horrible. I have an older brother. He's 5 years older than me, and we've been arguing for the last, 2 months. His lady called my lady asking if we were coming over for Thanksgiving, and I was like, I gotta think about it, because my mom had him with So I'm in a family of four. The oldest, my oldest brother has a different dad. His dad's from Hawaii, Oahu.
Yes.
And, so, and then my mom moved here because his dad was in the service. Basically, it didn't treat her right. So she moved over here and met my dad. And then, my dad and her had, my older sister, me, and my younger sister. So, my older brother, every time we have Thanksgiving, he wants to have all the siblings over, but not my dad, even though he raised them. My dad's like 60 years old, you know, and,
it's just not right. He's not open to them.
But my dad raised him. He was always there. It was the three of us and him, you know, but my dad didn't discipline him the way he disciplined me, you know, because it wasn't his kid.
It's from the abandonment of his mother.
I guess so, but yeah, but my mom passed away. My dad did a pretty good job of, you know, making sure everybody was okay, you know, for the most part. He did have a bit of a drinking problem, but who wouldn't when your wife of 20 years dies suddenly of cancer and you're stuck with four kids on your own, you know? Yeah. So, and one of them's not even yours, you know, but he's the oldest and he's a man. So my dad's looking at him like, by the time my mom passed, he was already like 22 or 21, you know? So my dad's looking at him like, okay, well, your mom's gone. Like, I'm going to take care of my three, and then I'll look after you, but you got to start being a man now. And then my brother kind of just resented him for that, you know? So
you never know what's in another guy's mind, you know? There's pain in
the relationship. Exactly.
Pain to kill his brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he's got two little boys. I got two little boys. And then, you know, I've been arguing with him. He wants to argue about everything. Football, everything we talk about is an argument. It's a debate. It's trying to prove he's smarter or whatever it is, you know? So, yeah, but I told him, I was like, you know what? Like, I don't think I'm going to go over there as much as I would like our boys to be around their cousins and everything. I'm going to go do whatever my dad's doing. So, and he was like, what? I was like, yeah, you know, I don't think it's right that you...
Remind him that it's his dad too, right?
Yeah, I tell him all the time. And he's like, oh, well, when we needed him the most, or I needed him the most, he abandoned us. And I'm like, man, your real dad left you, you're 4 years old. It set mom running and packing back to California, and you're over here resenting the guy that was paying your rent, putting food in your mouth, you know what I mean? We weren't rich, but he was the one breaking his back every day, making sure you had clothes and food and everything, you know?
Yeah,
and he was there when you needed him for 16, 17 years, and then when mom passed away, now you're going to try to just abandon him, you know? So we have some rough conversations, you know, where he's very, like, still try to communicate with his dad and a lot and, you know, praise his dad, and I'm like, man, that guy left you hanging. My dad's the one that actually raised you, all of us, you know, and then you're going to exclude him from the holidays and having people over at your house. So I'm having it at my house, and he's welcome. And if you guys want to come over here, you're welcome too, but I'm not going over there. So
all you can do is open an open hand, you know, brother. That's all you can do is open your heart. And that's all, because, I mean, don't, you're wasting your breath arguing with him because he's stuck.
Yeah, I forgive them all. I tell them all the time. I'm like, I forgive Dad. There were times he did stuff I didn't agree with. He used to whoop the crap out of me, you know?
Yeah.
But I forgive him. You know what I mean? I forgive everybody because that's what I just feel like. Life's too short. Yeah, life's too short to sit here hating. And I would want people to forgive me too. You know, I don't want to wake up angry at people, and I don't want people waking up angry at me. So I just let it roll, you know?
That's the way it should be, huh?
Yeah, yeah, my mom was really a glue person. That's what it is we lost our glue person, so I have to be that, you know?
Yeah.
I have to tell everybody, drop it, you know? It's not really worth fighting and arguing over, but he brings out the worst in me. There's a couple times I told him 2 months ago. I was like, man, I'm going to come down to your house, and I'm going to slap you silly. Oh, that's the worst mistake you'd ever make. I'd shoot you, bro. You won't shoot me. You don't got a spine to do it, you know? And we're in our 30s going... He'll be 40 next year. Yeah, you know, and it's crazy. Like, you know, his voice. Yeah, it's just dumb.
You remind yourself that you've got a family as well. You can open your house to them and your heart, but, you know, don't try to. That's all about patience, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's the one person that really knows how to test my patience. Yeah. He knows how to get under my skin. Yeah, other people, if they try to get under my skin, I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to go back to my family. I'm going to go back to the gym, whatever the hell. Keep rolling with the punches. Keep going to work, you know. But he knows he's my family, so it's like it's different, you know. He really knows how to get underneath me and rub me the wrong way, take me to places I don't want to go. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
It's hard to get out from underneath that, too, especially if you've got the, you know, your star signs don't probably match up too well.
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, there are star signs that don't, you know, like, I don't get along with Capricorns for some reason.
Oh,
Taurus, the bull.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you're born under star signs, because and I don't understand.
I understand that, actually. So I'm a Libra. My boys are Leo and Taurus. So I actually get along well with Taurus. But I'm an inanimate object. So I think we're the only one. We're about scales. We treat people how people treat us.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. I've always been like that. I've always been about fairness and equality. That's where I struggle with my brother. He was born February 7th. I don't know exactly what he is. But he's one of those people, he gets scorned and he doesn't forgive. But he doesn't get even either. I'm one of those people where it's like, hey man, if you're going to go out of your way to harm me when I'm not trying to harm anybody, I'll get even. You know what I mean? I don't go looking for problems, but you know, if you're going to poke the bear. Yeah.
I'm a good fighter, but I don't want to hurt anybody and I don't want anybody to hurt me.
Yeah, not in this life though. But I talked to my lady about that before. I was like, you know what I think I am? And she goes, what? I was like, I think I'm one of God's soldiers. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, God doesn't want us to kill people. And I was like, I don't know. I think I'm gonna spend eternity just slaying demons. I think that's what it is. I'm just gonna die, and he's gonna go, hey man, I got some work for you over here. Come slaughter these guys.
Once you're in heaven, you won't even know this place.
Yeah, I know. All the earthly things will abandon us, but I do believe there is a constant battle between heaven and hell. I think there is a constant battle.
Right now you have demons above you as well as angels guarding you. Right now. I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I believe that.
There's a spiritual realm above which we cannot see.
I've been too blessed to not think that God is there and has been watching me. You know, I was sick when my mom passed away. I was like, I was lost. Like, what am I going to do? You know, you're a kid.
I've been saved so many times. Literally from death.
Every day.
No, I mean, literally. I drove a motocross into a ditch full of rocks. Tank top, no helmet. Everything
Talk
went
about
into
some road rash. Yeah.
No, nothing. Nothing? 60 miles an hour. Everything went from 60 miles an hour to slow motion. Like the trees turned black. The sky was white, just like a photo negative.
Huh.
Slow down, slow motion. I watched it happen as I was on the bike.
We got a lot of things in common. Yeah. I laid down a bike when I was 21, and I went top over. And I remember my head smacked the ground the first time. Boom! And I had a helmet on. Thank God. Yeah. They told me in the ambulance, they showed me the helmet was cracked, and they were like, man, if you didn't have this on, you would have died for sure. You know?
That's why you have a reward, John. When you told me, you said, thank God.
Yeah.
Most people don't thank God. You thank God a lot, so God also will thank you.
Yeah. He's watching out for me. he watches out for me a lot. But yeah, I remember that. I know what you're talking about, though, that slow motion feeling. Because I remember when my head hit, boom, I might have been part of being concussed. I think that's the only time I've been that concussed. I did play football a lot growing up, but never been hit like that, you know. And I remember everything was going slow motion. My body went sideways, and I was rolling in a parallel to the ground, just rolling. And I remember every time it was like my hand caught the ground, to my elbow, to my shoulder, to my back, and it was very slow. Like, it was almost like I was controlling it all the way until I got to a stop. And I had a bunch of road rash, but I was like, I survived that. It was crazy. A car went and ran my bike over right after that, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you still ride bike?
No.
I stopped when I put my last one down too.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not doing that.
95, another time I did 95 miles an hour, and I got up next to I was in the country, so I got off the blew a connecting rod. I just had a fresh rebuild on an old 450 ape hanger Honda. I skidded for 150 yards, and it threw me in the ditch at 70 miles an hour, and I tank top again, shorts, helmet. I got up, the bike was wrapped. I mean, the tank was about 100 yards away from the bike. And the bike was wrapped. I got up without even a scratch. Same as the ditch. I got up.
Wow.
I did somersault. Crazy. I was literally on the bike for 200 feet in slow motion.
It's crazy how that happens. It's like when people say they saw their life flash before their eyes. I believe that happens. It's just everything.
Well,
time.
That happened because I was dazed. So when I got to the ditch, I had no business going 60 miles an hour where I was. I was coming up on a T on an intersection.
Yeah.
When I got to the ditch, the bike went in fast motion. I hit the ground, did two somersaults, landed on my chest. I had a sprained ankle. That was it.
What?
That was it.
Yeah. Me and bikes don't mix. I got a bad relationship with them. I pray for people all the time when I see them on bikes, because down here we're right by the 405. You know, that's six lanes wide, and there'll be bumper-to-bumper traffic, and these guys are straddling the lanes, and I'm like, it's not even about you, kid. It's not even about you. Somebody's going to hop over into that lane without their blinker, and you're done, you know? And I feel like they don't realize that. When we're young and we're so full of testosterone, we enjoy that adrenaline rush, and we don't really appreciate life, so we're over here risking it every day getting on that thing. I just pray for those guys, man. You know, I think about all the time. I got boys, and I'm like, I know they're gonna be crazy and probably try to get up on one of those things.
Yeah, now we got fast cars. I've had four Corvettes. I've had over 130 vehicles. I had four Corvettes, and now I got the real sports car, the Tesla.
Yeah, I got a really old Mustang that just sits in the garage, and it's not even running, but it's passed down from generation to generation from my grandfather. It's a 69. It's beautiful.
That's cool. My mom drove one of those too, 68, red with white leather.
Yeah, this one's all black with two white racing stripes. It's pretty nice, but it needs a lot of work, and I've just never really gotten around to it. I've had some people, I have my garage open, and they come like, yeah, you want to sell that? And I'm just like, nah. A guy offered me $50,000 for it. I'm like, it's not even running. He's like, that's fine. I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm all right. Thanks for no thanks. Yeah, but I'm imagining since they passed that law where it's all going to be all electric vehicles in California here 2030, if I hold on to it by then, I would imagine it would probably go up in value, even though gas would be harder to
come
by.
Unless they cancel fuel.
Yeah, but I don't know. That would be stupid because the same thing happened this summer when they announced that. We had people, or a heat wave, and they were telling people to conserve energy. And I go, well, how is the grid going to support all these electric vehicles if you're telling us to turn off our AC to conserve energy? Like, they got to...
That's how stupid our administration is.
Yeah, it's like you got to completely redo the grid. And I'm like, you guys aren't going to do that in 8 years. So what you're telling me basically is that we're going to have a bunch of power outages and rolling blackouts probably in 2030.
I swear you and I could run the country better than these fucking idiots are doing.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt about that. Common sense just isn't common anymore. It's like, geez.
It isn't. They're trying to do a big reset.
Yeah, I know. They're talking about New World Order and all that, but we were doomed from Washington. Washington said on his deathbed that the two-party system was going to be the death of the country. It's supposed to be one nation united, and that two-party system divides it right down the middle.
Well, at least our money's still under God. God, we trust. When it turns to the coin and the card.
Yeah, for now. For now. They're already cycling the Pledge of Allegiance out of the schools and stuff in California.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I'm going, what the heck? So you still pledge allegiance to the United States, but it's not one nation under God. So it's kind of interesting.
Two kids teaching the kids about sex in kindergarten? What the fuck?
Yeah, nah, not mine. Yeah, I know. I'll homeschool them before it comes to that. They don't need to be known about that shit. Oh, if a boy wants to be a girl, he could be a girl. If a girl wants to be a boy, he could be a boy. I'm going, man, you guys ever read the book talk about Sodom and Gomorrah? Like, clearly you didn't ever go to Sunday school, because that would have scared you straight when you were a baby. I don't get that, you know.
After we get off the phone, I'll send you a picture of a job we did right across the street from where my boat is parked. It has the roof, the gutters, the paint. You'll see what kind of work I do.
Nice. Yeah, we could use that stuff, especially if the – here, let me – I have to send you an email address to send them through the photos. Here, I'm going to
text this, you. I think you called me on your regular phone, 498-5320.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can send – I'd just send you a personal text for them.
Okay, that works too. Yeah, but sometimes if the PDF's big, or if it's or if there's a couple of images at a time, you send them to that email. But it's also just later on too, like if you want to add them to your Google Business profile, or if you end up leaving that website carrier for whatever reason, or if you want to have us redo your site, you know, you can send those photos there.
Well, I just was showing you the pictures so you'll have confidence that I can get the work done when you get it to me.
Oh, I already, like I said, they screened you, you know, you're not going to make it to this phone call without, if you have bad reviews and you have a bad reputation, you can't pass the background screen.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a good job of making sure I'm not talking to no bad people.
If they're listening in, perhaps they're learning.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot of diversity. We get so many people. You know how it is in California. You got Asians, blacks, whites, browns. Yeah, everything over here. You got, you know.
All our country's full of everything. No.
Yeah, they're not. It's not all one nation under God. So everybody's got different take on the book. Or
in regards
to
that,
at all.
In regards to that, there's 30,000 documented religions in the United States. 30,000.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are tax shelters, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're fake religions for many reasons.
Well, the reality of it is, Jesus, when he came to, when he was here, when he was 33 years, when he broke the bread with the apostles, the wine, and gave him his blood and wine, the Last Supper.
Yeah,
he established the church that day.
You remember Pastor Chuck from Calvary Chapel?
No.
Costa Mesa?
Uh-huh.
He was a big pastor. He used to do the harvest every year at Angel Stadium in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he passed away, and ever since he passed away, I remember I went to church like 3 times, and I listened to this new pastor over there, and then I basically haven't been since. It's been a couple of years. Yeah. I read the book, and I went to a private school. I'm well versed on it. I've been through it a couple of times already, but it's just, I don't know, something about the way that they're preaching just doesn't seem right. They leave a lot of stuff out. They just put a point of emphasis, and I don't like their translations of things. So
I'm a Catholic, so I go to church every day. So after 7 years, you've read the Bible. Meaning the readings that they do in church is, I believe they say that you've read the Bible after 7 years. I've been going for 35 years daily.
Yeah, that was my grandfather before he passed. I asked him, how many times have you read through the Bible? He said, cover to cover? I said, yeah. He said, 8 times. I was like, wow. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, cover to cover. He said he read it through like a book 8 times. That's not counting all the other times you go to church and you're just reading scripture, you know.
That's hard to do because I don't pick up the Bible and read. I try to live.
Yeah.
Jesus literally shows me.
Yeah, I got to that point. But it was like when my mom passed and I was really young, so I always grew up going to Sunday school. But when my mom passed and I was really young, I said, I'm going to read this whole thing. And I went to a private school after that. Where it was a Brethren Christian, it was a Christian school. So every day we had Bible. So every day we'd go in there and read, and then I would get caught up in the stories, and I'd read again. And then I'd watch the movies, and I'd read again. And I noticed, like, the Passion of the Christ, you know, Mary comes to Christ. And that's not in the Christian teaching, but it's in the Catholic teaching. And I'm going like this. Catholics and Christians are the same thing. We read the same book. We have slight differences in our meaning. But if I went to heaven, I don't think Jesus Christ is going to be mad about people worshiping his mother or vice versa. You know what I mean?
And that's what I tell. That's what I tend to tell people, that, you know, most people think, and whatever denomination they talk about the rosary.
Yeah.
The rosary.
Yeah, my cross doesn't have him on there, but I get what you mean. A lot of people get hung up on that.
No. You know what the actual rosary is, right? Where you the beads and the prayer beads and the you know, the cross, the stations, the whatever. So the rosary, she's the mother of Jesus. So the rosary, most people tend to think that the rosary is for just Catholics. But it's not so. The rosary is for, she's the lady of all people. She's the mother of Jesus. The rosary is for everybody. The rosary, which I've said almost all my four rosaries already today. I'm on my last mysteries. And I will finish them on the way home. But, the rosary is for every living man that walks this earth. What that rosary does for me, I used to battle it because Satan used to, you know, you don't want to say that thing. It's no good for you. Blah, blah, blah. Trying to make you feel sleepy and bored. But once you get into saying it after years, my God, not even after years, after 8 months, your life seems like a
funny,
smooth path.
So I was raised Christian, and you know, I still, you know, I have the fish. I have one tattoo is the fish, right? With Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior on my left forearm. But my lady is Latina. So, yeah, she's Catholic. So, and under my own roof, we have those minor differences, and we've talked about it all the time. We have those discussions. Those are our pillow talks sometimes. Like, what is the difference?
You're not,
this and that.
It's not far off.
Yeah, it's harmonious. There's no fighting or arguments about it. It's not like that. People think it's like some kind of religious war. I'm like, no, it's not like that at all.
You can be thankful your lady's heart is in the right place. Because my brother and his wife, she's Christian, he's Catholic. They don't attend church. They think God is everywhere, and that's their church.
Yeah, but we definitely are like that, though. I don't force them her over there, but also my boys. She's like, oh, I want to baptize them, you know. And I'm like, oh, all right, you know, that's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so my boys got baptized, and you know, even though it doesn't align with it, I just don't align with confessions. I'm not gonna ever have them do, like, you know what I mean. I repent to him directly. I pray to him directly.
I'm a Catholic as well, and that's a hard one for me because I don't want to go tell the priest that I've been fucking this chick for the last 2 months and going down, whatever I do with her, you know, it's not
yeah.
business, but at the same time.
Yeah, but I don't trust the church too, because like you said, they make these churches based off taxes and money and stuff. Then you go over there, you're telling these guys your sins, and then they already got these cameras in your home with the modern day technology. I'm like, it just doesn't line up with me.
Well, it's not that I don't want to confess. As the fact that if I start telling them that, you're also giving temptation to the priest.
Yeah.
Oh well, man, I want to feel that temptation.
I've always struggled with that, though. Because there's scripture. It talks about how, like, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future.
It talks about how
a lot of pastors are hypocritical, you know, because they live this one life and then they convert, they get saved, and then they're, you know, it's a contradiction. So I think that's where I started struggling with as I got older, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to read it myself and kind of, you can talk to him yourself. I can repent my sins to him myself, you know. He knows where my heart stands. So
he hears you that regard.
Yeah. So I just feel like, but a lot of the old school Christians are just nuts. They make us look bad.
I know. I don't want to, they have confession every day that I go to church, pretty much. I never really attend. I go once a year. It's enough.
Yeah, I've seen my grandfather cuss one time in the 30 years that I had him. One time. And
it was
because of the homos. It drove him nuts. I'd never seen
Me
it before.
Too.
We were coming home from Sunday school, and he you effing faggot. I'm going, whoa, get the heck out of the road. He was losing his mind, and I was going, whoa, I'd never seen him snap like that, and it was just because of the gays.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for me too. I don't believe because it's like men acting like dogs.
Yeah.
I'm not sticking my dick in another guy's ass. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
I mean, what can you do? What can you do with a lady? You can do with a lady. What am I going to do with a dude, man? But
yeah.
I won't do it with a lady either. I just find, I don't want shit on my dick. So it's fucking no thanks.
I hear you on that one. Yeah. All right, I'm going to circle back with you in a couple hours. I mean, we're about 2 hours out from your client interview. It's lunch hour for me, so I'm going to go grab a burger. I'll be back at 12, and then I'll talk to you at 1, okay?
All right, stay well.
All right, you too. Drive safe.
You too. Blessings.